Let's take our Bibles, please, and turn together to Psalm 3. I want to pick up where we left off 2 weeks ago and when we studied this particular psalm, and I'm going to read Psalm 3 and 4 together tonight because these two were written together, are paired together, and I want to continue the thoughts that we began last time. The title of this series is Guarded by God, Guarded by God, and I want us to understand and know what it means to rest in the Lord when everything is going haywire. Whenever trouble is surrounding us, what do? We go to pieces, fret and worry, anxious because of the things that we know to be solid and secure are now crumbling around us. What do? How do we react? And these two psalms right here show very clearly from God's Word how a believer ought to react when those times come. Let's begin reading at verse 1 of Psalm 3, and we're going to read both psalms together tonight. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. Selah. But Thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter up of mine head. In other words, if you want to translate it a little differently, You are the one that cradles my head in your hands. That's more of a literal translation of that. God, you're the one that cradles my head in your hands. That makes it personal, does it not? Of how God cares for His children. For Him to put His hands underneath your head. If that's how a Christian is supposed to live, we need to recognize that. We need to rest in Him. That's the idea that's given. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and He heard me out of His holy hill, Selah. Verse 5, I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. That Hebrew word for sustain has that same idea. I was cradled in His care. He held me up throughout the night. Verse 6, I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people. They have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God. For Thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon Thy people. Selah. Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. O ye sons of men, how long will ye turn my glory into shame? How long will ye love vanity and seek after leasing or lying or deceitfulness? Selah. But know that the Lord has set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed. And notice this next phrase. And be still. Selah. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. There be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift Thou up the light of Thy countenance upon us. Thou hast put gladness in my heart more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep. For Thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. Let us pray. Father, we thank You for these two psalms. And Lord, we thank You for the emphasis that's given to how the psalmist David, in the midst of great trial and difficulty, most of it consequences of his own sin and produced by his own son Absalom, yet in the middle of that he sensed Your presence and was able to rest in Thee and sleep. I pray, dear Heavenly Father, that You might help us as we look at these verses tonight from Psalm 3 and Psalm 4, that we might understand that You are the one that gives us rest. You are the one that strengthens us in times of adversity. You are the one that allows us to be able to sleep. And I pray, dear Heavenly Father, that we might rest in Your care and in Your goodness. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Now let me just remind you very quickly where we are in history. This is the time of whenever David is fleeing barefoot and weeping from Jerusalem, having been warned by one of his prophets that if he stayed, he would probably die. Absalom was going to take over the throne, and so it would be best for David to flee as quickly as he could. So he gathered up his children and his wives, and they took off up the outside of the western gate of Jerusalem, and then made their way around to the top of the Mount of Olives, running the entire time. And we are told that as he was going, he wept. When they got to the top of the mountain, they stopped, and they had a worship service. It was there at the end of that worship service that we learned last week that God sent along Mephibosheth's servant. Remember, Mephibosheth was the one that David had taken in after Saul and Jonathan were killed. And he said, because I loved your father, I'm going to care for you for the remainder of your days. Well, the servant that David had charged to maintain the properties of Saul and Jonathan was the one who came to David's aid at the top of the mountain there. Isn't it interesting? That's where Jesus is going to touch down. When he comes back, he's going to touch down three different places, the Bible tells us, in Basra, in the Arabian Peninsula. He's going to touch down at Armageddon, in the battlefield there, and he is going to touch down in later, after all of that is taken care of, he's going to touch down on the Mount of Olives. It is going to split, and Jerusalem is going to become a port city. Because that opening will go all the way to the Red Sea, all the way to the Mediterranean Sea. It's going to be a remarkable change in the earth's geographic structure. But Jesus Christ is going to touch down on the place that he sent Mephibosheth's servant to care for his servant David in the midst of all this. There's David getting up from his worship service and prayer meeting. He's barefoot. And there, with all these donkeys loaded with food and bread and drink and clothing and shoes, is this servant. And I can imagine David was just completely overwhelmed at God's care. That's just like our Lord, is it not? We worry and fret and think everything, the sky is falling. But I want to tell you something. It's the privilege of the Christian to trust God during those times. Remember, back in Jerusalem is all of David's bank accounts. All of the gold, all the silver, everything that belonged to him that was of anything of this world's meaning was back there. Here he is, shoeless and shirtless. He had to flee for his life. And God provides everything that he needed. Clothes, shoes, food in abundance, enough to feed everybody in his family and everyone that was there. And David says, what are you doing here? Why are you here? We didn't see you coming. Well, that's the way the Lord teaches us how to trust. There was a prayer meeting and a worship service that had to take place in the timing of God before the delivery was going to be made. Who was David going to trust at this time? Was he going to trust in all of his 600 strong men? Or was he going to trust in God? And David showed on the top of that mountain who he was trusting in. Amen? He illustrated before his children and his wives and the servants that were there, we're going to stop right here and we're going to worship God and we're going to praise His name for giving us safety and watching over us. And while they were praying and worshiping God, up the other side, coming around the backside of the Mount of Olives, is all of these donkeys loaded with food and provisions. God was taking care of His servant. And that night, he was able to sleep on the Mount of Olives with his family, and they had a good night's rest. We're told this several times in these two Psalms. Did you read it? Did you see it? How many times he refers to resting, having his head in God's hands? Resting in verse 5 of Psalm 3, I laid down and slept, I awake, for the Lord sustained me. Psalm 4, stand in awe and sin not, commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Or in other words, go to sleep, rest in Him. And then again, verse 8, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for Thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. All of these verses come together to teach us what it means to rest in God. Now, why is this so important? Why should we make such a big deal of these two Psalms here? Because I want you to know something, folks. In times of difficulty and trouble, we are conditioned in America
to turn to the government. That's what we do. When we are attacked, we look to the government to provide us with security. Do you remember how quiet it was in 2001 on September the 11th with no jets flying overhead? All the planes had been grounded, and everybody was wondering, when's the next plane going to crash? Everybody remember that? Those that were alive at that time, obviously, though the children that were not born yet would remember. I was down at Milton Computers at the time, and Mr. Marshall said, "Todd, come around here. You got to see this." And as we were watching, they were showing the one tower that was smoking, and we watched as the other plane flew into the second one there. And John looked at me and said, "Can you believe this is happening?" He said, "Can you believe?" He said, "This is going to change everything." Well, it did for a little while. What have we done now? Well, we're getting careless again. We're getting careless. And what have we been conditioned to do? In times of crisis, look to the government. That's what children are taught in public schools. That's what they're taught in the colleges and the universities. Look to the government. The government will take care of you in times of crisis. But for the Christian, who do we look to? We should look to God. We should look to Him. That should be the first thing that we do, not the last thing that we do. And we need to condition our children as moms and dads and grandparents that we not panic in times of trouble. This was the most horrible situation that David could imagine, being chased out of Jerusalem by his own son who desired to kill him. Can you imagine? I can't imagine that. And yet this was the reality of David. If anybody should worry and fret, it should be David. How far is the Mount of Olives outside the wall of Jerusalem? It's not very far. Absalom could have sent his troops right up to the top of the mountain, taken care of him, but God put a hedge around David and shielded him and protected him and provided for his needs. They did not have time to pack food. They did not have time to get their clothes and their shoes together. This is a picture, folks, of the Jews in the time of the great tribulation. The Bible says, "Flee ye unto the mountains. Get you out of the city. The tribulation is coming. The time of Jacob's trouble." And God is going to do what? He's going to protect and shield His people. This is a picture that's given to us. But there's a lesson for us too that you and I need to get a hold of, because we are so conditioned to look to government. What are they going to do? When's the water supply is going to be here? Isn't this right? Isn't this what's happened? Well, when's the water and the ice going to get here? Because we're looking to government to supply all of our needs. And deep down in, we say, "Oh, we're going to trust God." But really down deep inside, there's this thing, "Well, the government's going to step in and take care of us." There's coming a day, folks, when there will be none. There will be nothing. It's going to be like it used to be. You know, I don't remember. I remember Camille. I was 5 years old, but I don't remember FEMA back then. Does anybody remember FEMA showing up? The Mississippi coastline? Nothing. What did they do back then? In Hurricane Frederick, I remember in 1979, the winds howling all night long. Oh, it was horrible. We could hear stuff hitting the roof, hitting the windows. We just couldn't imagine what it was going to be like to get out the next morning. And we went out our yard. You couldn't even walk on the yard without stepping on limbs and branches. It was a mess all over Milton. But there was no FEMA back then. We all got out our rakes and we all took our stuff down to the dump. But what have we been trained to do now? We wait for FEMA to show up. They're going to take care of us. Wait a minute. For the child of God, our hope rests in the Lord. And we need to be conditioning ourselves constantly as His children. I am going to trust God. I am going to trust God. When a medical situation, I'm going to trust God to undertake. Whenever everything seems to fall apart and the wheels go off the wagon, I'm going to trust the Lord. Now that used to be the norm in Christianity, but not anymore. We trust everything and everything else, and the Lord is the last resort. We'll run to Him then. When everything else fails, well, we'll trust the Lord then. Listen, David had to learn to trust Him immediately for his needs. Now, let's move on here. Many said in verse 2, and I want to reemphasize this, many there were which said of my soul, there is no help for him in God. He was having a Morsi moment. Think about that. Where is President Morsi tonight in Egypt? We don't know where he is. He's in hiding and he's probably in the care of the Egyptian army. He was removed today from presidency. Now, I don't know what's going to happen to him over the long term, but he had to flee today for his life. Thousands of people have turned against him. The same people, by the way, that were cheering whenever he was elected to power 1 year ago. How things change. Same thing had happened to David. The year before, everything was just running around just great. Everything was good. The next year, here's King David and his family running outside the wall of Jerusalem, and you can see them running up the slope of the Mount of Olives, running for their lives because the threat was they were going to die. Now, who are you going to trust? Well, the people said, there's no hope for David now. His administration is over. Absalom's in power now. You better get behind him. How long did that last? Not very long. Because it wasn't too long before Absalom decided to take a ride outside of Jerusalem to kind of show off a little bit his newfound power, and he got tangled up in a tree. And Joab took spears and thrust it through his heart and killed him, and that was the end of the Absalom administration. And David came back in. Let me tell you something. Absalom's rise and fall. Morsi's rise and fall. And I want to tell you something. America's rise and fall. Who are you going to trust in? Who are you going to trust in? I've been reading a lot of material about our founding fathers. Have you ever formed a nation before? Any of you? Obviously, none of us have. Can you imagine forming a new nation? The Continental Congress coming together. How are we going to do this? Oh, there was a lot of banter back and forth. There was a lot of fiery speeches and angry speeches and back and forth. And how are we going to do this? How are we going to have a bicameral government? Are we going to have a three branches of government? What are we going to do? We don't want what we had. So we now have to come up with something new. And many of them, you know what they did? They went and got their Bibles out. And they turned to Isaiah chapter 31, where it said that God is our ruler, our lawgiver, and our what? He was the one that was going to be our judge. All three branches of our government was founded on Isaiah chapter 31. They went to God. The founding of our government is almost miraculous, is it not? The wisdom that was used, based upon the Scripture, that was America rising. But I want you to know right now, America is not rising. America is falling. So what does that mean? What does that mean for us? Well, I don't want to think about it. I don't want to go there. All right, Mr. and Mrs. Ostrich, go ahead and bury your head in the sand. Well, you've been talking a lot, Pastor Brainerd, about all these problems and stuff like that. You know, I get kind of tired of hearing about that. Listen, you need to understand something as believers. I want to push you to Christ as hard as I can. I don't want to push you to the government. I don't want to push you to your IRA. I don't want to push you to your 401k. I want to push you as hard as I can to Jesus Christ, because He's the only one that can help you. He's the only one that can pillow your head at night. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? It's almost an academic thing today. Well, yeah, we know that's what the Bible says. But what about practically? Where are you practically on this truth? Do you pillow your head at night worrying about the stock market? Man, we're getting 15,000 shooting up. Well, that's great. Guess what? Inflation's starting to rise. Ooh, what is that going to mean? Who are you going to trust? That's what it boils down. Who are you going to trust? You've got all these things, all the questions about health care, all these doctors quitting in California. What are we going to do? How are we going to handle all of these things happening? All these fluctuations that we haven't planned on? What are you going to do? Are you going to trust God? Remember, David was going through a radical moment in his life where he was not sure whether he was going to come out alive or not. So what did he do? He went to sleep that night and he rested in the Lord. And as it says in verse 5, I laid me down and slept. I awaked. That's talking about the next morning. In the Hebrew, gives you the idea. He had a full night's sleep. He awoke in the morning, for the Lord had cradled him. That's the word. Had cradled him. I don't remember. That was too far, too young for me to remember being in a cradle. But I do remember when I was a kid that for a while we had these little sideboards on our bed. All right? So we wouldn't fall off. Anybody ever fall off their bed? I've done it a few times. I remember in our dorm room at Bob Jones, one of the guys fell off the top of the third bunk. I remember the sound. It was like an atomic bomb going off when he hit the floor. And I come flying out, stepped on him in the process of getting out. And I said, are you all right? And he never woke up. He was sound asleep. And I prodded him and I said, are you all right? Why are you waking me up? I said, you just fell off the top bunk. Well, I'll just stay down here then. He slept the rest of the night on the floor. And the next morning, he didn't even remember that he had fallen out, that we'd had a conversation that night. Okay? Now, I want to tell you something. That night, I pushed myself all the way over to the side of the bed, and I put pillows up so I wouldn't fall off the bed. It was just unsettling for someone to flop off the top of the third bunk. All right? And when I was a kid, I remember having those things on the side of our bed, you know, and you'd kind of nuzzle up against it a little bit. I can sleep pretty good. I know I'm not going to fall out until my mom came and said, you're too old for this. Pull those things off. And then I slept in the middle of the bed. You know, feeling out there to make sure I wasn't going to fall. Now listen, it's time for us as believers to grow up. We've got to leave adolescence in the Christian life. And you know what the sign of growing up is? Resting in Him. Just to go pillow your head at night with everything that's going on and say, Lord, it's in Your hands. It's in Your hands. I'm going to trust You tonight, and I'll trust You to care for me, and in the morning I'll get up and thank You for all that You've done. Now, this is the reality of Christian living. You want to know how you've reached maturity? When you can rest and sleep in the midst of trial and trouble. That's how you know that you have come to the place where you're starting to grow up as a Christian. If you're carrying all the woes and all the troubles and anxieties of life with you to bed at night and you can't sleep and you got to take tranquilizer pills and all kinds of other stuff, you know, that's one thing when you've got physical issues, obviously. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about because you can't sleep at night because you're not resting in the Lord. You're wrestling with all your problems and your troubles. You know what you need to do? You need to cast them at Jesus' feet. He'll give you peace. He'll give you comfort. And that's the lesson here. This is the lesson that He brings. Salvation belongeth to the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. Selah. Last verse of Psalm 3. That's the reality. Salvation, deliverance, belongs to God. I don't think he laid awake that night and said, I wonder where my 600 men are, my strong fighters. It sure would be good to have them up here surrounding me tonight, like in the good old days. No. He rested, he slept that night. As verse 3 says, with his head pillowed in his hand. The lifter up of mine head. God's hands under his head. That's how you and I ought to live. Lord willing, we'll get into this next time, this next psalm here, because this brings out again the truth of the attitude of the Christian when it comes to the trials and difficulties of life, that we can rest in the Lord and find His strength. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we see the signs of the times. We see our nation just a shadow of its former self. Oh, how people today are longing for the government. Oh, the government will feed us. The government will take care of us. The government will solve all of our security issues. The government, the government, the government. And Lord, as Christians, our hope is not found in Washington. Our hope is found in Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that we might train our hearts and our minds upon Jesus Christ and learn to rest in Him. Learn to turn things over to Him. Our safety, our security, our health, all the verities of life must rest in Him alone. Father, I pray that You would teach us these important lessons. And as we learn to rest, we can sense and know the cradling arms of Your care in the midst of trouble. There is no sweeter rest, there is no sweeter peace found outside of Your hands upon us. And I pray, Father, that everyone here might know that reality in their life. Lord, if there be one without the Savior here tonight, there'll be no peace for them. They need to turn to Jesus Christ before it's too late. But as Christians, Father, I pray that You would convict us of the sin of not trusting in Thee as we ought to, not resting in Thee, worried and anxious about everything that we see, get upset and angry about all the things. Lord, just help us to settle our souls down and be still and know that You are the Lord. Father, bless us now. We pray that You would bring us again together tomorrow evening for our fellowship time. We pray that You give safety there. And we pray that You'd watch over our people who'll be traveling this week and next week. Pray that You'd watch over each and every one. And we'll give You the glory and praise for all that You do, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.